It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson. It was only a matter of time, right, before the professional physical sports world acknowledged and tried to capitalize on the burgeoning professional digital sports world?
Here it comes! Boom shakalaka! Kaboom!
What can I say? I loved that old video game NBA Jam, and it is relevant because this week more NBA teams, like the Toronto Raptors, are signing on to a new esports league. Esports, as you may remember, is where professional computer video gamers go up against each other in teams, and people show up en masse, fill stadiums, and see those contests in real life. Here to tell us more is our friend and CEO of the fitness app ProDay, Sarah Kunst. Sarah, thanks for talking with me. Tell me what is happening here.
The NBA is kind of always the most forward-looking league in the sports world, right? And so one of the things that they realize is obviously they have, you know, all of these NBA video games that do incredibly well, and we're not making any money off of it. So, you know, what they decided to do, and it's really brilliant, they, you know, they went to the gaming companies that own it, and they said, look, we're gonna start a league. And there's going to be 8 to 10 teams initially, actual teams. So the Toronto Raptors just made a big announcement about their involvement. Sacramento Kings have indicated that they want to be involved. They're actually going to recruit 5-player teams. They eventually even want to have a draft.
Wow.
So imagine esports All-Star Weekend someday in the future. And, you know, it's going to be a real thing.
Are the players going to be regular nerds who are good at this stuff, or are they going to be people who are already NBA stars?
Primarily people who are really good at video
games. Whoever's good enough?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the cool thing about these is that you don't have to be, you know, 7 feet tall to do it. But at the same time, there actually are a ton of athletes who are really, really good at video games because during the off season, you know, where you or I might say, hey, let's go skiing, let's go wakeboarding, they can't do that. If they get injured outside of practice, their contracts are null and void. So a lot of them spend a ton of time playing video games. We might eventually see people retire from the real game, the physical game, and go into the e-games.
Is there a game-watching culture, and by game-watching, I mean people watching other people play video games, culture connected to sports video games?
I think that's still growing. I think that, but the consumer's there, right? Younger kids. So there's these phenomenons around like Minecraft videos. If you know any 7 or 8-year-olds, they want to spend all their time watching Minecraft videos,
oh, yeah,
which is the most boring thing in the world. They love it.
Sarah Kunst, she's the CEO and founder of the fitness app ProDay. Sarah, thanks a lot for talking with us about this.
Thank you.
If you are a human being in the year 2017, you have probably made or heard a joke about the robots coming to kill us all, take our jobs, and become our robot overlords. Automation and artificial intelligence isn't all about right now or the future, though. The conversation about this stuff has been going on for centuries. A new book that looks at AI's past, present, and future is Thinking Machines, The Quest for Artificial Intelligence and Where It's Taking Us Next. Author Luke Dormel joins me on the line from London. Luke, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where does the story of artificial intelligence really start in your mind?
If you really go back and you look at the birth of AI back in 1956, what was sort of funny about it is the fact that you had this group of quite brilliant computer scientists who met up at Dartmouth in the US. And they had this idea that if you really just gave them, I think they sort of initially said, give us 6 weeks. And we think if we can get all of us in the room at the same time, we can talk about this. I'm sure that how hard can it be to kind of crack building a machine that thinks like a human?
Yeah. So after looking at all of this history, where do you think we are going, I don't know, in the next 40 years?
We're starting to see kind of AI becoming a fundamental part of our daily lives. And I think that's only going to increase over the coming years. I think the idea of the smart home, in fact, in the US already, you're seeing a number of building contractors and a number of states which are really embracing this idea that if you're going to build a new property, you need to include things like smart thermostats as part of the building.
In the book, you talk about not just the power of robots to do work for us, but the power of robots to actually be us through what's called mind uploading. Tell me more about this.
The idea is that if you can create the human mind in a machine, which is sort of the central premise of artificial intelligence. The idea that on some level, the brain is kind of, sort of hardware and software, and that we can kind of recreate it by reconstructing, you know, the neural pathways inside a machine, then would it be possible to take a person and to sort of upload their brain to a machine?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, if I'm 200 and I'm not able to, you know, jump or eat a sandwich, I don't know. I think I'd be pretty sad. But,
I think it is an interesting idea. Absolutely. And I mean, with robotic systems, there's no reason you wouldn't potentially be able to sort of jump and, I guess, technically eat a sandwich if you wanted. These are no longer things that just exist on a computer. The idea is that everything now can become smart. So there's no reason why you couldn't be, you know, sort of, I suppose, reincarnated as a thermostat.
God forbid. Luke Dormel, his new book is called Thinking Machines. Luke, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
And we are supposed to get some new emoji characters sometime this year. And the latest proposed emoji 5.0 characters are on the internet. There's zombie emojis, mermaid emojis, T-Rex emojis, and of course, a vomiting emoji. You decide which of the new characters are most important. Find a link and give me your answer by hitting me up on Twitter. I'm at the Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.